We're living in some pretty difficult days, dark days even. Evil would even be a good descriptor of the days that we live in. But these are the days that God is calling His remnant church to stand up and be heard. Stay tuned for my conversation with Coach Dave Dobenmeyer next on this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said. You talk of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Hi, folks. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And, of course, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And you can listen to every episode on our website, SoaringEagleRadio.com. My guest today is Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. I've been looking forward to this conversation for quite some time. Coach is one of those fearless men of God who is not afraid to stand on the front line, in fact, to stand in the gap, as it were, much needed in this day and age. Coach Dave, thanks for joining me on this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
So it's so great to be with you. And you know, we're living in, I found somebody just the other day, if we could advance ourselves right now about 60 years into the future and look at where we are sitting, we would be absolutely overwhelmed at the times in which we're in. You know, I think about the turbulent 60s that we all lived through, and May 4th, 1970, when those kids were killed at Kent State University. And yes, we just kind of lived inside that bubble, Pastor, and moved through that. Yes. And I really think that we are right in the midst of that again. Maybe we don't have Bobby Kennedy being killed and Martin Luther King being killed. Maybe we're not at that point. But, brother, there is death and destruction all around us. And I really don't think that the average believer has any idea at the incredible times in which we find ourselves living right now.
I couldn't agree with you more, Coach. It is an amazing thing, and let's come back to that, because I do want to touch on that and encourage the remnant that is listening to this episode. But last night, the debate between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, I know you had some comments about that today. I wonder if you'd give us some thoughts on what you saw from that latest debate.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what I think, Pastor Mike, and I'll be honest with you. This has been one of the most discouraging times, really, in my life, because I've seen a good, better than good, deeply committed Christian brothers separate over this election. It's something that really kind of grieves me to my very core.
Yeah.
Those who, you know, I call them the never Trumpers. Other people call them the never Trumpers. And people who say that there's no way that they can, you know, with a good conscience, vote for a strip club owner or an adulterer or an unrepentant sinner. And I have to tell you, Pastor Mike, I share that. I share that deep in my heart. But what's happened so far is I caught 11 of the Pharisees. And 11 of the Pharisees, if I understand it right, it is taking the the teachings of Jesus, taking the law is what the Pharisees were talking about. Jesus was explaining to them, you take the law and then you add to it. Yes. And unfortunately, we live, that's what's going on around us. The leaven of the Pharisees produces an attitude or an atmosphere in Christian believers where they say, I'm more righteous than you.
Yes.
You're going to vote for Donald Trump. I will never vote for him. Therefore, I'm more righteous than you. You understand what I'm saying,
yes,
Pastor Mike?
Sure do. Yeah.
And I love those brothers. I love them. I love them. I love them. And I make this point. If they knew what I knew, they wouldn't feel that way. If they knew what I knew, they would understand why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So we are all prisoners to that little box of information and knowledge that we have. And if I just viewed this election as Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, if I just followed the mainstream media, then I would think like them. I would think, golly, I can't vote for an independent senator. But if you looked at it in a different perspective, being a seat of the serpent against the seat of the woman, not just in America, a worldwide battle for the control of the world, the new world order, if I dare throw that word out there, if we could really understand the man behind the curtain and everything that's going on, then your entire perspective changes. And I tell everybody, there's no more adamant pro-lifer than me. I go to the abortion clinic 3 days a week. We give our lives to it. Not a more important issue to me than abortion. But Pastor Mike, we're so far down that road that the judgment of God is coming upon us rapidly.
Yes.
I made a little video. I asked this question. What if Donald Trump is mercy from God? What if Donald Trump is a guy who's appeared on this scene out of nowhere, like Cyrus, and we all know how that story goes,
yep,
appeared out of nowhere and is giving us one to say no to abortion? Judgment's going to come out. No matter what, judgment's going to come. But if we reject this opportunity, last night I made a video this morning, or last night I made it. Mike, I've been around fighting this fight for a long time, and I've never, ever heard any Republican presidential candidate say what Donald Trump said last night. Two things that blew me away. Number one, he called it tearing a baby apart.
Yes.
He said it twice.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine George Bush or Romney or any of them. He called it tearing a baby apart. And then he said something else I couldn't believe. When they asked him about his judges, he didn't say what Mitt Romney might have said or John McCain. Oh, I have no litmus test. I have no litmus test on that, mm-hmm, at all.
Yeah.
Well, all of our Republicans have said, Pastor Mike.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump said, oh, yeah, I'm appointing pro-life judges. I'm thinking, I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
I am going to appoint pro-life judges. And then they said to him, wait a minute, does that mean that you want to overturn Roe versus Wade? He kind of stumbled for a minute, and he said, well, that will be the effect of the judges that I appoint. And I come up out of my chair and think, Lord, I have never heard anything like this out of a Republican candidate.
That's right.
Yeah. So it shook me. It shook me. And I immediately jumped on the internet and tried to say to people, do you understand what this man just said? Do you understand? And what was the response that I got? Oh, yeah, you can't believe him. You can't believe him. Pastor Mike, he's not a king. We're not electing a king. And even though we've allowed President Obama to serve as a king for 8 years,
yes,
the fact is, he can't make a law. Obama can't make a law. Courts can't make law.
That's
Donald
right.
Trump can't make a law. Abortion could be... to make a law against abortion, doing away with Roe versus Wade, how? The Senate and the House pass a bill, and the president signs it. That's the way our system works.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump has already said he would do that. He didn't say that specifically, but he said, I want to do away with Roe. I just want to go back to the states. Now, I think he's wrong there, but at least that's putting a stop to it, isn't it? At least that's stopping the bleeding.
Yes.
Yeah. In my mind, as I was sitting there watching that debate, in my mind, I could have turned it off right then and gone to bed, because I believe that was the shot heard around the world. And anybody that has real spiritual ears has to hear what it was that the Lord was saying through Donald Trump.
Yes.
Here is your chance to end the shedding of innocent blood. And that's where I've dug in. And Pastor Mike, I've declared war.
Yeah.
I've declared war on my brothers, the Never Trumpers.
Yeah.
I love them. But I think we're at a unique time in history. And why God has chosen Donald Trump, very simple in my mind. He couldn't find a fearless man of God who would step in and do what that guy did last night. So he you know, God has the right to use whoever he will.
Yeah, that's right. And Coach, that's one of the things that I respond to people when they say, "Well, I could never vote for Donald Trump." Then my response is, "Oh, then you must have been a Mike Huckabee supporter, right? Because if that's yeah. your test, then all of you should have been supporting Mike Huckabee, right? Oh no, I was so it's just so inconsistent.
They certainly didn't vote for a Mormon, did they, Mike? A Mormon, which is an entirely different religion, right? They don't serve Jesus.
Yep.
So again, it's selective outreach. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to walk on you.
No. I appreciate that point, and that's so true. I've not seen the outrage over Trump directed at anybody in my lifetime, and I think we're about the same age, Coach. And so I can remember quite a few elections, and I've never seen anything like this out of Christians before.
Can I put it in reverse here just a second, Pastor Mike? Because I want to go back to Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Back when Mitt Romney was running for president of the United States, and everybody was kind of lukewarm about him. They were lukewarm for a lot of different reasons. Most of them were lukewarm on him because they thought he was too liberal, right?
Yeah.
I tried to tell people, I made a lot of enemies again, Pastor Mike. I said, listen. If we vote in Mitt Romney, that'll be the first non-Christian president in the history of America.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody stops for a minute and they say, well, you know, what about Obama? I said, listen, Obama said he's a Christian. Every man who has been in that White House has claimed to be a Christian. Mitt Romney is serving a different God. He is not. Mormons don't even claim to be what we would call Orthodox Christians. There was a time when they didn't want to be called that.
Right.
So here we were faced with putting a guy in there for the first time in American history who would have not have claimed to have been an Orthodox Christian. And so now here we are. Oh, Pastor Mike, I put this in that video today. Donald Trump, I don't know if he's a Christian. I don't know. But he seems to be on the side of Christians. He seems to be trying to protect Christianity. And then we hear James Dobson and others who said, oh, yeah, no, he prayed the prayer. I was there when he prayed the prayer. We see pastors and churches all across America who think it nothing on Sunday morning to have 25 people walk an aisle and say a prayer. And they're all rejoicing that 25 people come to know Jesus. And they're all high-fiving each other. Oh, 25 more people serving the Lord. When Donald Trump and James Dobson tells us Donald Trump said that same prayer, what's our reaction, Mike?
Yeah, we rejoice in that.
No way. Huh? No way.
Yeah.
So we are so confused.
Yeah.
We know Scripture tells us that Satan's the author of confusion. So there's a crazy, crazy time, brother.
Yeah,
crazy time.
For sure. Well, moving there.
Mike, were you ever lost, Pastor Mike?
Was I ever lost?
You were lost.
Yeah.
You were lost, weren't you?
Well...
You remember what that was like?
No, I was one of those rare people that popped out of my mother's womb saved.
Yeah, you came out saved. Or the guy told me I was born a Methodist. He told me I was born a Methodist. I said, you got to get born in your problem.
I remember those days, Coach.
The 25 years ago, they had given me $5 billion. Do you have any idea what I'd have been like?
Oh, my heavens.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And I heard a guy, you think temptation is tough when you're poor, you wait till you get rich.
Yeah, that's a fact.
So and Donald Trump can have anything he wanted. There's nothing he couldn't have.
Yeah.
And so for us to think that he would be a lost man and going around without sin, to me, again, it's just the hypocrisy of those of us who claim to understand mercy and grace and forgiveness and redemption. Brother, there is none of that.
Right.
That's not true. There's an element of the church that refuses to offer that to Donald Trump.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's more important for them to be right on this issue than it is for them to show compassion and mercy and grace and accept the same thing from Donald Trump that they do from other people, clearly.
Well, Pastor Mike, actually, I don't question their Christianity. I know the depth of the commitment of some of these guys. I know these guys would die for their brother. They would die for the Lord. They have spent countless months in jail regarding abortion. I know these guys. I am not questioning their faith.
Yes.
That's what breaks my heart, brother.
Yeah.
Because there's a blindness on them that they don't see.
Yeah.
And it ends up being this. As I said earlier, the leaven of the Pharisee. Beware the leaven of the Pharisee, Jesus said, and that is self-righteousness. I'm more righteous than you because I could never vote for him.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. Well, in the meantime, we've got a lot of very discouraging things going on. Are you up to date on what's going on with Judge Roy Moore being attacked once again? By these leftists,
and so
I would encourage our listeners to be praying for Judge Moore once again, but also start speaking to people about this, because this is just the tip of the iceberg. The enemy are the Luciferians out there among us, and they are many. This is part of their battle plan. They want to attack any born-again believer, any person who stands up for the Lord that holds a public office of any kind. They want them removed, and they'll use any tactics they can find to do that.
Well, Pastor, you said something there that made my ears perk up. I'm a professional listener. You know, I do communications like you do, so I listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that you do as well. And I perked right up when you mentioned the word, the L word, Luciferian.
Yeah.
And I wonder, Pastor Mike, you probably swim in maybe a little different ponds than I swim in. You spoke up there in Lima, how many pastors do you think are talking about the Luciferians?
None.
See, here's what's happened to
us. Only one in this city.
That's right, brother. And see, here's what's happened to us. We have taken the devil and personalized him.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the devil's after your health, he's after your finances, he's after your children, mm-hmm. he's after your peace, he's after your joy, he's after all these things that you have. And Pastor Mike, that's not what he's after.
Right.
This is an eternal struggle for control of the entire world.
Yes.
This world that the invisible world that we can't even see. And I had a guy tell me one time, it just opened my eyes up. He says, don't you understand that the devil has a team? I'll stop for a minute. I said, what do you mean? He says, you don't understand that the Luciferians, they have church services and they have sacrifices and they make plans and their design is to exalt their king. Don't you understand that they have a counterfeit church as well? And Pastor Mike, that's what you just said. You called them Luciferians.
That's right.
But you go out in Lima, Ohio, and you start talking about that, and they're going to look at you like you got crossed eyes. Say, what are you talking about? Brother, it's real. And so there's where I come back to. Again, my brothers who don't understand the bigger picture, they think, I said, oh, no, it's bigger than that.
Yeah.
We're past that.
Yeah.
It's about the Luciferians and control of this kingdom here on earth.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and a good example of that, Coach, is the new thing that's breaking out across America is these satanic Bible clubs or satanic clubs. I don't think they call them Bible clubs. Satanic clubs in our school systems. And some folks are scratching their heads saying, well, how did this happen? Well, it happened because you, Rip Van Winkle, were sleeping. That's how it happened.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And because, more than anything, come on, folks, the devil's after the seed.
Yes.
He's after the seed. See, we're afraid, Pastor Mike. We can't. Pastor, I hate to paint with a broad brush. We can't get pastors to take the gospel into the school.
Right.
But for whatever reason, they're intimidated or they're fearful or whatever it was. If there's a Bible club in the school there, there might be one, brother, but it's not really doing much. It's not shaking any kingdom.
Mm-mm.
So we look in public schools and the devil's minions, the Luciferians, they got control of church kids all day long.
Yes.
Well, why wouldn't they introduce a Luciferian, a Satan club? Why wouldn't they introduce stuff to the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eye, feed all that stuff. That's all over the TV anyway. That's what's being taught in the schools. Well, yeah. It would be natural for them to come in with a club. And yeah. See, here's the funny thing about it. The average person doesn't understand that the devil's already got a club in the school. They just haven't named him. Yeah. He's already there.
Yeah.
And he's just coming out of the darkness, that's all. He's just coming out of the closet now, making himself, exposing himself more so people can see it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's been a long march through the institutions of America, but it's been a very planned and coordinated march to remove God, remove the Bible, remove prayer, remove any reference to the Almighty, our Creator. And so it's been very coordinated. Evolution has been at the forefront, of course. And Coach, I got to ask you this question, because you're an educator. One of the things that's puzzled me why pastors won't talk about this is, and it's this point, our children are taught about evolution and the fact that it's time, chance, and mutations resulted in life, and that there's really no significance in human life, that we just happen to arrive at this place. And yet, out of the same mouth, while they're teaching our children this, out of the same mouth, in the next statement, they want to talk about anti-bullying, that we shouldn't bully people. And
yeah,
that's always been a head-scratcher for me, why pastors won't jump all over that and say, no, wait a minute, you can't have it both ways. Either life is significant, and then we have to explain why it is significant, and that's the rub, isn't it? They don't want to admit that there's a creator.
That is the rub. And for whatever reason, we have permitted the church, in its desire to be relevant, has grasped a hold of what we commonly call the social gospel.
Yes.
That being the gospel that you take care of people, and Jesus is all love, and we're supposed to love everybody, and you know, if you don't show any love, then you know you're not a very good Christian. Yada yada yada. So it's a natural transition then into that love gospel without any judgment. So Scripture tells us that mercy follows judgment.
Yeah.
Well, we have a judgment-free gospel. That's what we're teaching to our people.
Yep.
That's what we're teaching to our children. Sometimes I have an opportunity to go into public schools here in the Columbus area. A couple of them have a class for seniors called PolyRad, which is Radical Political Science. And in these classes full of seniors, they bring in all types of radical views all across the spectrum. They bring in atheists, and they bring in pagans, and they bring in witches, and they bring in... So I get to come in. They invite me to come in. And you know, Pastor Mike, it's always discouraging. I come home and tell my wife after I, you know, make a few presentations, you know, maybe four presentations to four different classes, 150, 160 kids. And I come home, my wife says, it's good, but she said, the problem is the worst ones are the Christians. They're the worst ones.
Wow.
When you're trying to go in and you try to teach the founding of the nation that it was a Christian nation and why Christian morality matters and why Christian morality is at the heart of the gospel and why if we remove the standard, that unmovable standard, the Ten Commandments, and we allow God to be taken out and government to come in, why it is important for us to return to those Christian values. Pastor Mike, the Christian kids are the most tolerant and accepting of homosexuals. Brother, I don't even know. I'll get a kid in there. You know, he's dressed up as his cat. And he said, kill them all, you know, kill them. But the Christians, you know, just love. And I'm not saying kill them. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Yes. The point that I'm making is in the Christian kids that there's no judgment at all. Oh, if you're judgmental, you're not very Christ-like. And so that's what's crept into our churches, and that's why we reached the point here in America that I believe that there's about to become not only an actual physical revolution of some form, but a spiritual revolution. That the average Christian guy, Mike, I really believe this. They're leaving their churches because they go to church on Sunday. What they hear on Sunday, when they leave there, they look at their wife and they'll say, "Geez, Tommy, what was that all about? That ain't got
yep
with what's going on around us.
Yep.
How can we come in here and talk about money and talking about having a good life and overcoming depression and all that stuff's good, don't get me wrong. But they walk out and say, my goodness, there are boys in the girls' restroom.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Right? Yes. And they're saying, what am I missing here?
Yeah.
I think there's great, great frustration in the heart of Christian men. And they know right from wrong, but they don't know how they're supposed to respond to sin. And it's been a great failing of the church, in my opinion.
No, I would wholeheartedly agree with that, and that's why Calvary Chapel of Lima, the church that I'm blessed to pastor, is a small church. I call it a remnant church, Coach.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's because and the reason that is because there aren't enough people in the city of Lima that are going to sit and listen to the pure, undistilled Word of God be preached and tied into the headlines, what's going on all across
Amen.
America. They won't sit for it. They want to be, they want to have the warm fuzzies. They want to feel good about themselves. And if you challenge them to think about some of the choices that they're making and the life that they're living, well, they're just simply not going to tolerate it.
No, they're not. And sadly, that's why their faith has become irrelevant to them.
Yeah.
Pastor Mike, I want you to know that, first of all, it's an honor to meet you because I know many like you. I'm talking 10 maybe, right?
Yeah.
They're more than just you.
Yes. Praise God for that.
People don't know that when I talk about the church, I don't mean to paint with a broad brush because I know some good men. I know
yes.
some guys who will go to war with me right now. Will go to the abortion clinic and stand. I know those.
Yeah.
But the reality is, it's very few.
Yeah.
Very few. And those who condemn us the most for standing up and speaking out against this stuff are our brothers and sisters in Christ. If they are, in fact, our brothers and sisters, that's a whole nother story.
Yes, yeah.
But Jesus warned us. He warned us that our enemies would be those of our own household.
Yes, that's right.
And I think that probably means maybe your real household, maybe your home. I think we all experience that. And your brothers and your sisters and your family. I have great battles and great conflicts there. But I think he's also talking about the brothers in the faith.
Yeah.
Those will be your greatest obstacles. And as I started out the program today to sing, that's what breaks my heart, because right now I'm in battle with those of my own household. And again, it grieves me, but can't be surprised, can we? Jesus only had 12 boys. He just had his home boys, or 12 of them. He couldn't even hold on to those 12. So I shouldn't feel so bad when some turns on me. Now, eventually all his guys came back to me. I pray that I'll be back in fellowship and relationship with these guys. The devil is great at sowing discord. Right?
Oh, yes.
Lord doesn't like it, but that's what he does. And
yes.
We just pray when we get through this whole thing that we're able to come back into fellowship. But you know, I've learned a lot, though, Pastor Mike. I've learned a lot that some of those who I thought were great brothers in Christ in me are still great brothers in Christ. But there's a schism there that will be hard for me to repair. From a trust standpoint. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
It's sad. It's sad.
It is sad, and I chalk it up to this, Coach, is we're living in the days when there is an exposing going on, if that's a good word to use. There is a reaping.
Separating.
Yeah, there's a separation going on, and I think that God is calling his remnant people, and I make this distinction. I use remnant all the time, Coach, to distinguish between the organized church. Because folks that show up on Sunday are not necessarily Christians, and in a good many places, I'm just going to say it, they frankly are not. It's become a social event, something they do more out of habit and a social club. They're certainly not receiving the gospel. They're certainly not sharing the gospel. I'm not quite sure why they even bother anymore, other than that it's just a tradition. So when I say remnant, I'm talking about the born-again believer who is spirit-filled, who is living his life for the honor and the glory of God, and speaks the gospel every time he has an opportunity. He can't do otherwise. That's the remnant.
It's like fire caught up in the bones.
Yes, amen. Yep, that's exactly right.
I'm seeing this more and more and more and more. The theme throughout the scripture is broad and narrow.
Yes.
Wide, or wide and narrow, or and many and few.
Yeah.
Jesus himself said, in that day, there's going to be a whole bunch of you folk who are going to come and say, Lord, didn't we cast out devils and lay hands on the sick, and didn't we do all these marvelous things in your name? And the Lord's going to look at them. This should shake us, Pastor.
It should.
He's going to look at them and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you.
Yes.
And so we have this axiom in the church. We say, hey, do you know Jesus, brother? Well, Pastor Mike, that's the wrong question. Everybody knows Jesus.
Sure.
The question we have to ask ourselves is, does he know you?
Yeah. Amen.
Because,
that's right.
You know, I know about you. I know who LeBron James is.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody asked me, do you know LeBron James? Well, heck yeah, I know LeBron James.
Yeah.
Said, would he take a phone call from you right now, Coach? I said, well, no, he wouldn't do that. I said, well, why not? Well, he didn't know you.
That's right.
And I see it as the exact same thing, you know. And yeah. So, we shouldn't be surprised. We just shouldn't be surprised, because that is the theme that runs throughout the scripture.
Yeah.
And my buddy Flip Benham, you'll get to meet when we have our boot camp. Flip Benham taught me something that I'll never forget, brother. He said, everybody wants to follow Jesus until they find out where he's gone. And he's gone to a cross.
Yes, amen.
Right?
Yes.
And he's telling you to pick up yours every day and
yes.
follow after him.
Yes.
And there aren't very many. That's brother, that's when that wide gets narrow.
Yes, amen.
when you pick up that cross. That's when that many gets few and
yes.
that broad gets narrow.
So true. Coach, you mentioned the spiritual boot camp. Why don't you say a little bit about that and encourage folks? Is it still open? Can folks still come to that? Or?
Oh, yeah, sure is. It's free. And my life story, if I give it to you real quick, Pastor, I was
sure.
a coach. And I got sued by the ACLU. I coached at London High School. Down Madison County. I got sued by the ACLU in 1997 for having prayer with our team. Went through a two-year battle with the ACLU and won that battle. And at the end of that, 1999 was my last season. I resigned. We were 10-0 my last year. I didn't get fired. And walked away and started Past the Salt Ministries. Past the Salt, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, you're the salt of the earth. Salt loses its savor, henceforth good for nothing. And so I've been on a 15-year sprint to try to awaken Christians up to what's going on and get them to pass the salt. They are now the salt, to get it out of the salt shaker and pass it. And I have to tell you, it's been rewarding and frustrating, because churches, they don't want to hear that. And so I began putting together this idea. We call them spiritual boot camps. I believe there are a lot of men out there, as I said earlier, Pastor Mike, who really want to be involved. They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so we do these spiritual boot camps, and we get men to come there. We do them a little bit of training. We take them to the streets on Saturday morning, and then we do a little bit more training with them on Saturday night, and try to help them learn how to more actively live out their faith. And we're doing one in Warsaw, Ohio, which is over by Coshocton. Coshocton's about 45 miles, a little bit east of Columbus. And we're going to do one on the 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th of November. We got people coming from all over the country, and it's free.
Yeah.
All we need people to do, Pastor Mike, is if they just go to CoachDaveLive.com. That's my website, CoachDaveLive.com, and they can register on the boot camp. We'll help them find a place to stay. We'll do everything that we can, and we just ask them that if they're out there listening right now and they're in that they're within shouting distance of this radio program and they want to get involved with it, check us out, CoachDaveLive.com. You're going to be come and do some of the training, some of the speaking for us. We've got Flip Benham, who's a gentleman who baptized Norma McCorvey. You guys say, well, who's Norma McCorvey? Well, she was the Jane Roe. She was the Roe of Roe versus Wade. Flip Benham led her to the Lord, baptized her.
Yes.
Flip Benham is the father of the Benham brothers. I don't know if anybody's seen those two twin brothers that are on fire for Jesus. This is their daddy. He's one of the greatest Christian warriors I know. Flip's going to be there to do some ministry, and Pastor Bill Dunphy, who's helping to host it there in Warsaw, Ohio. And we would just love to have people come. Just come and
just come and join us. Hey, the water's good. Come on, man. We won't drown you. We won't get you in over your head. We just want to train you and equip you and help men in particular more aggressively, more boldly live out their faith for the cause of Christ. Mike, there are days coming ahead of us. The scriptures warn us. Jesus himself said that men's hearts would be failing them for fear of the things that were coming upon the earth.
Yes.
Now, I know I'm probably speaking to some people out there saying, well, that's not going to happen to me because we're going to be raptured out of here. And so I'm not going to argue theology.
Right.
I tell you this, you better hope you are.
Yep.
Because Jesus said that your hearts are going to fail. It would be so unbelievably scary.
Yeah.
And we're not ready, Mike.
Yeah.
We're just not ready.
That's right.
And so we're trying to raise up, you called a remnant, we're trying to raise up that same remnant of men who will be in position to be leaders in their communities when this kind of stuff begins to break loose.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen, brother. That's exciting and powerful, and I am honored to join these men of God and really showing folks how to put on the Ephesians 6 armor of God every day and step into the front line and get in the battle. That's what it's all about.
I was sitting in my house one day reading the Word, Pastor, and I'm sure this has happened to you. You can read a scripture 100 times and it's just a scripture, and all of a sudden you read it the 101st time and it's out of that thing and bang, punches you right in the neck. Had that happen to you? I know you have.
Yeah.
And so I'm reading the scripture in Hebrews. It says very simply, let us forsake not the assembling together even more as we see that day approach. And all of a sudden, smack me right in the chops, the word fuel.
Mm.
And I get to think about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm ruminating over and thinking back and forth to assemble. See, we think that means just all of us get together. You walk into some big mega church up there in Lyman, you'd know it better than me what that would be. And you walk in there and there's 500 people in there. There's 1,000 people in there. And my truth is, they don't even know each other.
Yeah.
They may be assembling together. They may be coming into the same building, but that's not what the Lord's talking about.
Right.
So assemble takes me back to the days when I got Christmas presents for my kid. And I got it out from under the tree and we opened the box and had those terrible words that said what? Some assembly required. And assembly means to take a part and plug it in where it belongs next to another part. Like when you put together a football team, you have a center and two guards and two tackles and a tight end and a split end and variations of that. But they have to be assembled and put in the right place. If they aren't assembled and put in the right place, if you try to put your quarterback at center or your left tackle at quarterback, it isn't assembled right. It's not going to work.
That's right. Yeah.
And so what I think the Lord was saying to us is as we see this day approaching, and Pastor Mike, I see this day approaching, God is assembling. He is putting the parts in place together.
Yeah.
And that's what I see is going on kind of with these boot camps, is a forming, a locking together, a uniting of across the spectrum, not just in my town and not just in your town, but a connection, an assembly of God's men he is putting together, and it's happening because even more of that day is approaching. So assembly is more than just getting together and eating chicken, brother. It's finding out what gifts you have and what gifts I have and who can play left guard and who can play right guard and who can... That's what the body's supposed to look like, brother, and I'm excited at this time to be alive and to see the Lord beginning to do it.
Yes. Yeah, this is a great... That's a very good point, Coach. This is...
That's a great word picture, isn't it?
It is. It really is. If you don't mind, I'm going to steal that. I'll give you proper attribution, but...
think about the Ohio State Buckeyes. Man, we look at the Ohio State Buckeyes. They were 128 in returning players this year. There's 128 teams in Division I. 128 teams. The Ohio State Buckeyes were dead last in returning players. Did you know that?
Yes.
Dead last in returning starters.
Youngest team.
And what did Urban Meyer do? He went to Texas. He went to Florida. He went to New Jersey. He went to Ohio. And he assembled these parts. And he brought them in. And he has been spending the last year, since that last game was over, they have been spending their time putting the proper parts in the proper place. And isn't it amazing how they've been able to assemble a team from all across the nation?
Yes.
God is doing that in the spirit, brother.
Amen.
I just know that he is. And is for a far bigger game than Ohio State, Michigan. I promise you that.
Well, I think, Coach, you and I are a perfect illustration of that. I mean, I knew you from your videos and your show and listened and was very encouraged, but you didn't know me from Adam. And all of a sudden, the Lord opened a door, and I was on a radio program, and you just happened to be listening, another ordained moment, and so we reached out to one another, and now we're going to be teaming together. So it's very exciting to me to see the Lord do all of this, to bring together like-minded
Amen.
Believers in this day. I want to leave folks.
Because,
go ahead.
Because I'm sorry, Pastor Mike, is because we're all uniquely gifted, right? It's one body.
Yes.
And it's many members.
Yes.
And we all know that scripture well.
Yeah.
And, you know, that the nose can't say to the knee, and the knee can't say to the toe, and the toe can't say to the eye, and the eye can't say to the ear. We all understand that. Well, brother, that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to get those parts together anyway. We just have to teach that ear to be an ear. We got to teach the eye to be an eye. We don't want everybody to be the same.
That's right.
We want everybody to be able to come in a spirit of unity and
yes.
humility and be able to plug in to the body where they are to be plugged in and allow them to function the way the Lord would want that body to function.
Yes.
It's exciting, brother. It's exciting.
It is exciting. And I want to encourage our listeners to get into your Bible after you listen to this episode, and I want you to turn to Psalm 11, and I want you to read that psalm. Verse 3 is pretty well known. People quote it all the time, and it says, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And people use that a lot of times. They use it. They don't mean to do this, but they kind of use it out of context, Coach. And so I want to...
Yeah, they use it as defeatism, right? As
yes,
defeatism.
yes, exactly. But it isn't.
What can we do?
Yeah, what can,
what
we,
can
do?
We do?
But listen, read the rest of the chapter, because if you do, what you're going to see, and I was thinking about this today in preparation for our conversation, Coach, if you read the rest of the chapter, what you're going to find out when it says, what can the righteous do? Well, number one, they can recognize God's on the throne and nothing escapes his gaze. That's the first
Amen.
Thing, and that's in verse 4. God's mm-hmm. throne is a picture of hope for believers, but fear for the wicked. That's the judgment that we were talking about.
Amen.
Verse 5 tells us that God is working out his will upon the earth, and that's the test there in that verse. Will people obey, or will he reject, or will they reject him? That's the question. And then finally, God is going to hold the wicked or the evil accountable. That's verses 5 and 6. I turned to that passage today and got great hope, Coach, because it reminded me, listen, it is dark, it is evil. We all have things that we think are going to happen. They may or may not. But one thing I do know, God's still in control. That hasn't changed. He still has his folks ready, if they'll obey him and be led by his spirit, he's going to win the day.
Oh, no. So, Mike, if we put a little bit of an emotion into that thing, Psalm 11:3, it would sound something like this. Okay, boys, everything's destroyed. What are we going to do?
Let's huddle up.
It isn't, yeah, it isn't we're done. It's over. All right, boys, look around.
That's right.
What are we going to do here? Let's go.
Yes.
That's the attitude of that psalm, is it not?
Yeah, yeah. And it's perfect. What can the righteous do? Look at verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. So get your eyes off of the circumstances and the problems and all the boo-hooing and hand-wringing, and look to the Lord. He's still on the throne. That's the point. I could start preaching here, Coach.
Yeah, Mike, if things weren't bad, you wouldn't have to do anything, right? Come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like getting yourself a brand new track, no yard mow. So we're here for a purpose, right? We're
Amen.
Here for a purpose.
Amen.
We got all kinds of tools. We're equipped. The grass needs mowed. Come on, boys, let's go mow. We may have to grab a sickle first.
Yep.
We may have to get a weed whacker. But come on, let's go mow this.
That's right. We're gonna have a great time middle of November, Coach. I know that already, and I encourage anybody out there that's listening, join us. Go to Coach Dave Live. Is it .org or .com, Coach?
CoachDaveLive.com.
CoachDaveLive.com. You can sign up there. And also, you do a daily live broadcast. How can folks get involved in that?
Yeah, we do it every morning. Thanks, Mike. I've been doing it for about, we started it in January. Mm-hmm. I haven't missed a morning since January. And it's an interactive program where it's called a Google Huddle, where when we're on there doing the show, there are 10 of us. There are 10 actual faces on the screen. It's the way I think church is supposed to be done, Pastor Mike. Yeah. You know, we lay out a proposal, and then in a multitude of many counselors, it's great wisdom, and we discuss it. And so if you can't be one of the 10 to get into the huddle, get into the huddle. We, on YouTube, you can listen to it on your phone. You can listen to it on the Global Star Radio Network. And if you didn't get it there, it's archived, and it's all free and available at our website, CoachDaveLive.com. But I have to warn them, Pastor Mike, this is gritty. This is manly gospel. This ain't no city gospel. This ain't no sissified best lifestyle gospel. If you're listening, I'm talking to two different people.
Yeah.
If you're a man and you want to live out a more manly Christianity, come join us. And if you're looking for your best life now and a softer gospel, then don't come and join us. I'll be honest, it's not for everybody. But brother, I'm finding champions and warriors all across this country.
Amen.
They'll be at that boot camp. Many of them will be at that boot camp, actually.
Yes. Yeah. Can't wait to meet them. Coach, I appreciate you being on the program with me, and I think this is just the first one of many we'll probably have as long as the Lord tarries.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
God bless you, my friend.
Well, it's honored to be on the team, and I'm coming up your way there here in November.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much.
Yes.
How could I forget?
13th, yes,
yeah.
Or something
yeah.
Like that in
Sunday, November the 13th, folks. Coach Dave will be at Calvary Chapel of Lima firing up the troops, bringing a message under the unction of the Holy Spirit. You won't want to miss that, 10:30 a.m. at Calvary Chapel of Lima, 682 West Grand Avenue. Come on out and hear Coach. Thank you for
I promise they'll be impacted by the Holy Spirit, Mike.
Amen.
I promise that they will.
Amen.
Men in particular, if you're listening right now and maybe you've got a son or a brother-in-law or a brother, somebody who's kind of teetering and you want to expose them to the gospel, well, get them there because it'll be a manly gospel. Women will enjoy this, but it'll be a gospel challenge for men to rise up and be the men of God that they're supposed to be.
Yes, amen. And that's, you know, Coach, I just sense in my spirit you saying that is really a word for some of our listeners who have given up on church. They've just walked away from it. They're sick and tired of it. And they're going to hear this. They've heard it now, and they're thinking, wow, maybe there is some place that I can go that they're really preaching the Bible. They're really talking about what's going on today and filtering through a biblical lens and helping us to get equipped and armed to live this life in an impactful way for the Lord Jesus. Maybe I'll check that out. And if that's you,
yeah, I'd be grateful.
Amen. Coach wants to meet you. I want to encourage you as well. So come out Sunday, November the 13th, 10:30 a.m., Calvary Chapel, Lima, 682 West Grand Avenue. And again, don't forget the Spiritual Boot Camp, November 17th through the 20th in Warsaw. And you can go to CoachDaveLive.com and get more information there. And you can even register there for that weekend. So, Coach, it's been a pleasure to have you on and an honor for me to chat with you. Thank you so much.
We'll do it again, Pastor Mike. God bless you. Thanks for having me.
Amen. Take care now. Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and of course follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. You can visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address.